Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. All right, welcome back. We are finishing up the Convenient Risk series by Sarah Turnquist today. But before we dive in, I have a question for you. Do you read multiple books at once or strictly one at a time? And if you read multiple books, do you assign them to different locations, like beside bedside book, purse book, bathroom book?
Remember Dad's bathroom books?
Yeah, the stack of magazines. Gun magazines.
No, his Star Trek books.
Yeah. So, do you read multiple books or just one at a time?
Most of the time, I read one at a time, but I can read two. Like, if I'm trying, like, for example, I do my book club at the library. Mm-hmm. And if I'm like, I gotta get this done, but I'm into this, I try to read. But I don't have them really assigned anywhere. It's usually on my nightstand, or I take it to work and read at work.
Do you always do paperback? Do you ever do Kindle or audio? I
usually don't do audio. I've done audio twice. Audio is hard for me because if the author, the narrator isn't very good. Mm-hmm. But there were two books that I did that were awesome because they had different, the one had different narrators for the different characters. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, it was just, it was an Asian theme book. So it was fun to listen to them talk.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. It was a cozy mystery. Mainly I do paperback. I can do Kindle. I do have a Kindle. I can read on that, but paperback is my favorite.
It's your preference.
It's my
preference. By the way, we are working on piecing together the audiobook for Unwavering Faith, and I have different people voicing the different characters.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that takes a long time to mm-hmm. piece together. But okay, Tip, nice. What about you?
I just do one at a time, and normally it's, I used to love paperback, but it's so much more convenient to have it on my Kindle, or and then it has an app on my phone, so if mm-hmm. I forget my Kindle at home, then I can read it on my phone. Mm-hmm. So that's my preference.
There are perks,
and I can read it anywhere that way. Then
yeah,
and I don't have to like, oh, I forgot my book, but then I can be like, oh yeah, and
it shows me to one book at a time.
Yeah.
Okay, and you do some audiobook too, right?
Yeah, I love the audiobooks because then I could pop it in like if I'm at work or on break, and I can just have it in my ear in the mm-hmm. car, jetting around the kids, like yep. whenever.
One thing
in the house.
One thing, and I don't know if you have this trouble, but with audiobooks, it's hard for me to focus and remember because I get distracted. Like, I pretty much miss most of what's in an audiobook. Mm-hmm. If I'm just reading it just for the fun of it and I don't need to, like, remember, that's fine, but to listen to it,
The way I do mine, though, is, like, if I start a book, then I have to finish it pretty soon. So that's why I'm, like, I'll listen to it all day.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, there was one book I read recently, and I literally read it. Like, I just kept the audio in my ear all day. Mm-hmm. And I pause it, like, I'm going to make dinner, have dinner. Yeah. But then I'm like, okay, guys, I'm going back in my book world. Leave me alone. I'll be back tomorrow. So, if I had to space out, over several days, I don't think audio is the best way either.
Yeah.
But like long drives are, mm-hmm. you just get sucked into it. Like mm-hmm. I do, I guess.
There's a lot of people that listen to audiobooks yeah. while driving. That's so I will do multiple books at a time. And at one point I was juggling an audiobook, a Kindle book, and a paperback book. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it'll be like a Kindle, an audio, and a couple paperback, or a Kindle and a couple paperback. Here lately, I can't do more than two just because my brain is on overload mm-hmm. with work stuff. But audiobook I won't do fiction with because I can't keep up with. My brain like starts wandering and then creating up all these other scenarios. And a lot of times then I'm like, oh, maybe I could try this in my book, like in my own writing. So I don't do that. But nonfiction, I love audio for nonfiction. Mm-hmm. In fact, I prefer it over the paperback. But for fiction, I really like my paperback or my Kindle. Mm-hmm. And I don't assign them places. It's just if I'm out and about, then I'm going to read my Kindle book. Or listen to my audiobook. If I'm home, then I'm going to pick up the paperback I'm working on. So I don't like to take my paperbacks places because I don't like them getting scuffed up or wrinkled up. So
I have a cute little tab that my coworker for Christmas got me. One of those fabric things you can slide your book in. And
oh, yeah.
It's yellow with bees on it. And I really like it. Protects the paperback. Yeah. So, but
it's perfect for you.
Yes, perfect.
Perfect. All right. Well, I'm always just curious about, you know, our reading habits. So, there's our reading habit of the day. I am curious about our listeners. So, if you're listening, drop a comment under the video or on the website under the blog post and tell us if you read multiple books and if you assign them to a certain place or not. All right, Tiff, you want to introduce us to our book today?
All right. We have A Less Convenient Arrangement, which is book 7. I'm going to go ahead and start the back of the book here. So Sadie Rose Perkins finds herself in dire straits after her father, the town banker, absconded with everybody's money. But what's more, her mother's failing mental stability becomes a trial she is not certain she can overcome. When she faces legal troubles amidst the townsfolk who shun her for her actions, not her own, is there anywhere she can turn? Though his one goal is to return to Richmond in a partnership in his father's law firm, David Anderson finds himself drawn to Sadie and softening to her plight. He offers what legal advice he can, but resists being pulled into the mess that has become her life until he starts to care beyond that initial attraction. With the looming loss of Sadie's home and all that remains to support her in the world, she doesn't see a clear way out. Can she stand strong against the challenges facing her? Will David risk following his heart? Will David risk following his heart regardless of the cost? Or take the first out offered to him?
Before we dig into some of the questions that we had here, what did you think about her situation?
Sad.
Very sad.
So sad.
Very, very sad because when you read it, well, what happened with her dad?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And then with her mom, how they treated that back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt really.
Because they didn't have a name for it, but basically she had either dementia or Alzheimer's. One of the two, based on her behavior. And I'm not sure which, they're so similar, but I'm not sure which one makes them go into like angry fits like that. But she was just not in a good place. And she was kind of all alone, except they had a housekeeper, right? That helped.
They were able to keep her on.
Mm-hmm. And then her aunt and cousin end up coming, which we'll talk about that dynamic in just a minute. But yeah, I can't imagine bearing the weight of that on your own. And then the weight of, because of your father's actions, everyone in town is like looking down on you and they don't want anything to do with you. And
even though you had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just.
So that made me think about David. I mean, what did you think about like the first time he ever runs into her? He notices everyone's kind of being really cold towards her and he just steps in and is really helpful. Mm-hmm. Like, how did that shape your perception of him? Because my initial reaction to him was like, ugh.
He's kind of uppity.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Like how he was like.
Yeah. He didn't like Brandon.
He did not like the ranch life.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
He was too.
Too good for it.
Too good for it.
All this dust and, and I can't believe you do these things or, you know what I mean? Like, you're a little prissy pansy from the city. I didn't like him at first.
I loved how, even though he was like that, he went to her aid anyways without, even though he saw all the townspeople, like,
yeah,
you know, he was still a gentleman.
That scene there at the post office was the scene that made me go, okay, I think I can like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I can see past his can't rough it. He's kind of really prissy in my mind. not manly man, but mm-hmm.
Oh, and
he's just used to the finer things.
Yeah, in life, and like, you know, how it's always so loud, like you can always hear the cook. And
oh yeah. Yeah.
There's never any peace and quietness.
Yeah, I wondered if he had a little bit like OCD the way he was like was washing his hands. And
very true.
Just like
He might have. I grew to love him, but initially I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And his description of the cow hands.
Oh yes. And then he got touching punched the in the face.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Anyways, also, let's just keep going on David. What did you think about how he acted around the horses? Like, he
kind of acted like me around the horses a little bit. A little scared.
A little scared and, like, real, I don't know, what do you want to say, Jessica? It was cracking me up.
Yeah. Well, like, okay, the one he wanted the ranch hand to drive him. Mm-hmm. And Brian's like, no, you either, what was it? You either ride this horse.
Yeah. Which was, or you wait until.
Wait. And it was a really old whore. I mean, but he just jumped at, like, even if it, like, swished its tail or something, he was just like.
Yeah. He.
I don't know how he made it to town.
Well, and then the description of him getting, like, in and out of the saddle, and she was watching him get out of the saddle, and she was like, oh, my goodness. This man doesn't ride horses. It's pretty entertaining. What did you think? What are your thoughts on Alice and the way she tried to embarrass Sadie at dinner with all those childhood stories? So remember, Alice is her cousin because her aunt and cousin come in to help. She reaches out. But Alice is really very mean.
Yeah, her and her sister were both mean to her growing up. Because Alice had a sister. Yeah. I can't remember.
Yeah. What did you think about
I did not that? Like her. And I wish Alice's mom would put her in her place.
Yeah, I was kind of waiting for that because she was really nice.
Yeah, she was really nice. And Alice did this in front of her mom and everybody. And it was just, she was so mean and so hateful. Mm-hmm. And not even like, I'm sorry what you're going through, Sadie.
Yeah.
I'm like, why'd you even come?
I know.
I was disappointed that she showed up.
Mm-hmm. I know, but you had to put a little extra
drama
in there, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, how would you describe Deputy Travers and how he tried to corner Sadie?
It was like a scumbag guy. I was like, really? You're in law enforcement and you're doing this? You're supposed to help her, like really help her and not just,
But I thought he was slimy even in, was it, which book was Dan and, is it Dan and Lydia? Is that book 2 or 3?
4.
Is it book 4?
No. Or is it 3?
I can't remember which.
I think it's book 4 because it was like Brandon and Amanda and then the Christmas.
And then the Christmas, you're right.
And then it was Cutie.
Cutie and then Dan. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It was book 4. And that Lydia is
Lily.
I think is it Lily?
Lily.
Is it Lily?
I think it's
okay,
Lily.
Okay, look at me mixing up names. That's all right. So she's the sheriff's daughter. She was the sheriff's daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you met Travers then, and he would say slimy things to the sheriff's daughter, and like the sheriff didn't care.
You're right.
Remember that? I thought I don't like the sheriff, by the way.
No. Mm-mm.
I think he's just as slimy. It's just he would always just show up at right the moment and be like, all right, I'll do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this deputy, when he was like, you're going to need to.
Yeah, you're right.
He was trying to corner her into marrying him and basically waiting on him hand and foot the rest of her life. And I don't know. He was super slimy.
Yeah.
Ian, I loved how David came back when they pinned the notice on her. Mm-hmm. House about like you've got to leave or you have to
yeah
be
like
out
you owe the town this money or
I was glad he was there to do the legal recourse for that make sure everything was fine.
Well, and on top of all that, she's dealing with that and then trying to deal with her mom and not let anybody know outside the household. It was,
and then the house fire.
That was scary.
Yeah, that really, that's where it's like you couldn't hide things anymore. And it was not good. Not good. I will say that there is another book in between. I believe this is supposed to be like book six, right? Because that this
does it say on the front?
It doesn't say that. It just says Convenient Risk series.
Yeah.
We didn't talk through this one. It's these Golden Years. It's a collection of short stories about Cook and then Uncle. So Dorothy, her name's Dorothy, and his name's Owen. And they're the older couple that you get introduced to in book one, but they're not married in book one, but they are married by book two. And it's just like, I think every chapter is a different month of the year and just a story of what's going on with those two. But it says that when you look at the list, I believe it says this one goes between book five and book seven. So.
And you say older couple, but that couple looks pretty young on here.
I know.
I was just looking at them like,
In this series, yeah. Compared to the others, they're like the parent couple, I guess you could say. Yeah. To the other couples.
I had different, when I looking at that picture, I had way different people in my mind.
I did too. This is not
That's the first time I've seen the cover, though. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah, when you read about them, this is probably not what but who most people picture. But
One thing else I liked in the book we were talking about was the doctor. Even though he kept her secret for her, but I loved how when he went to court, how he came in and stood up for her.
Yeah.
And then reached out and said, I think I have a place you can send her. The son in the asylum.
Yeah.
And I really like that with the doctor because he could have totally.
I wondered which way he was going to go because he kept talking to her about like, we can't keep this up.
Yeah. Because like when she went to get the Mormon. Yeah. I did, but I'm glad he stood up for her. That. I really like that.
Yeah.
About him.
The happy endings all around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Warm fuzzies. That's why we read these romances, because we like the happily ever afters. All right. How would you rate the mystery level?
Espresso.
Yeah, probably espresso.
There's really not a mystery. We know what's going on.
You're right.
Suspense level.
Maybe espresso and mocha?
Yeah, I would say.
I mean, there's a little suspense in there.
You think? I was just going to go espresso. I think there's tense moments, but I don't know about suspense.
Okay.
But to each our own, because we're different readers and we have different like levels, settings for these. What about the inspiration level?
I'll say mocha.
Mocha.
Yeah, I would agree. Mocha. How about the drama level?
Like there was a latte.
Yeah, latte.
I would agree, latte. When you have the scandal that her father left them with, her mother's state, mental state, her cousin's ridiculousness, drama, then you have the town and their drama against her, and then you have the deputy and his drama problems. So.
She never caught a break.
Yeah.
No. Never caught a break.
Mm-hmm.
If I was her, I would have hated going to town.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Like, yeah.
What about the romance level?
Espresso.
Espresso.
I would agree. Espresso. It's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a fan of just a sweet, clean romance, then Sarah Turnquist is your author.
Mm-hmm.
And she does a really good job with that. All right. What is your overall lasso rating of... A less convenient arrangement.
Three.
I'll give it three. It's well written. She does a really good job with her writing. She actually taught, when I had my writer's group, she taught a few classes on writing. She's an excellent teacher. Excellent teacher. And she also does editing, developmental editing. So she's helping one of the ladies in my writer's group right now with her book. So she's just a great resource all around. So I really enjoyed her series, and we're wrapping that up. And next week will be her author interview. So we'll get to learn a little bit more about her writing and where she's at. Because I think this is one of her older series. This isn't one of her newest series. So she's got a lot more books for everybody to read.
Awesome.
All right. Mm. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.